Fruit.
See, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back.
You either go to church or you're going to go to hell.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Friday, January 26, 2024. It's Friday. Usually we do the open phone thing and sort of, just kind of a free whatever. So we'll do that in a second. First, my prayer and a couple of announcements. Then we'll go to the phones. I think, prayer is in order. I've said it a million times. One of the reasons that I haven't done that in the past is I don't want people to feel like I'm trying to sneak up on anybody. I'm not, but I am not ashamed of the gospel either. Don't mistake my kindness for weakness, as they say. It's not that. I just don't want a misperception. It's the delicate balance of, avoiding even the appearance of evil, but, it's still important. So I think it's more important than ever, and so we'll start with that. Enough of the explainer. The Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, the King James Version, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then Jesus went on to say, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Man, that's really, I mentioned the movie Gandhi yesterday starring Ben Kingsley. And I think it really speaks to this point. I think Kingsley did a great job. That might be his best role ever. But, Jesus said, But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And remember, he said, the guys were saying, well, we didn't, we never flew on the Lolita Express. And Jesus said, if you look upon a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. So if we don't forgive in our heart in this, application, well, there's a problem. So it would be wise, I think we would do well to be introspective on that. And then from there, the full armor. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 kind of stuff. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And from there, I would only add, I pray that no weapon formed against the righteous shall prosper. All who walk in error would come to know the truth. I pray, Lord, that you reveal our hypocrisy and double-mindedness. I pray all unrepentant evildoers be brought swiftly to justice, and wickedness be brought swiftly to an end, righteousness be restored in the land. And that's my prayer. The late, great Jack Otto used to pray on his broadcasts, and maybe we should play one of those sometime. So if it was good enough for him, definitely good enough for me. He wasn't the only one, but, you know. Other than that, there are the announcements. There is the New Year Rebel Madman Rabble Razor Quilt Raffle. The lucky winner of the Rabble Razor will receive a packaged gift containing a Confederate battle flag quilt, RBN mug, t-shirt, business cards, bumper stickers. We're quickly coming to the end of that. Less than a week left. We're going to determine at the end of this month. So call 800-724-2719, extension 3, and make a donation of $250 or more to win this fabulous package. And more importantly, support the network. You can do that this way. You can do it a variety of other ways. You can jump on the website, click the donate button. You can call 800-724-2719, extension 3, and make a donation. Or you can mail it. Snail mail, as they say, which sounds like a Tavistockian term to discourage and dissuade us from doing that. But many of us still appreciate it very much. So you can make checks or money orders payable to RBN and mail those to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Thank you to everyone who supports the network. It is a listener-supported network. My joke is there's no Ford Foundation grant or the like coming. Not going to happen. It is a listener-supported network. Thank you to those who do. If you haven't or you haven't in a while, please consider supporting the network. And that's that. Before we continue on, let's go to the phones. Lynn in Maryland, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Happy New Year.
Good morning. I can barely hear you.
I haven't talked to you.
There we go.
Happy New Year. God
Happy
bless
New
you.
Year. Happy New Year to you too, Lynn.
When you were praying, I was thinking, forsake the evil and love the good.
Mm-hmm.
Good with a capital G. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for you. And my donation to RBN is thanks to hosts like you and for Mike and Frank and Julie and Sam. So I thank you all so much.
It's our extended family, right?
About the fact that our nice little transistors, you know, well, mm-hmm. We've kind of moved on to quantum, and we're not stuck with ones and zeros anymore. So, and we can go back and forth through silicon, and so it's all like exponential. And 6 years ago, when I stopped using technology, I never thought things would accelerate this fast. What I see today is troubling. I wouldn't say frightening. I thank God that I had a clue it was coming. What does scare me is the fact that other people have no idea. They don't see how under the influence they are and how affected.
I would like to, if I may, just parenthetically interject. There are a number of folks who feel similarly, and, you know, some folks seem to be questioning their faith. How could God allow this? And usually when someone says, but what about all those people? The Bible talks about that. Without getting into the specific verses, I usually respond, it sounds like you're convicted about this. And I'm not telling you this. This is just sort of the audience. They're sort of eavesdropping. But I have said to one friend in particular, it sounds like you're convicted about this because I can hear it in this person's voice. It's on their heart. It's a burden. And I say, you know, maybe we should be praying and maybe we should be sharing more because I think you're right. People don't know.
Well, and they're also told, but it's okay, mm-hmm. you know, because God will protect you.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, a little sin, a little bit pregnant. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
right.
what I was gonna share with you is something that I heard last night that you might be interested in listening to later. It was on about 3 o'clock this morning, my time on NPR, so it's BBC. And I believe the program is called The Real Story, and it was on AI. It was very interesting. And so I wanted to share that with you because I thought you might like to listen to it. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things it goes into is, you know, the thing about AI, I mean, it can't get enough data. I mean, you know, to manipulate people to get more data. I mean, you know, they did that way back, you know, New World Order document that was found in the printer. And you know.
Silent weapons for quiet wars kind of stuff or Iron Mountain stuff.
Yeah. And but one of the things that there were three people on the panel from different scientist types, and how much more powerful, let's use that, I'll just use that as a word, to manipulate people to be even more addicted to their devices and technology so they can gather the data.
Yeah, so many ways.
And the thing that people ought to be aware of is there's not just one type of AI. You know, it's not just ChatGPT. That's like minor. No. That's like the distraction.
And it's been in use for years, decades
years.
Even already. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Spell check.
Yeah.
Who knew? I mean, and that's what it is. It's right in front of our eyes, and we don't see it. But now it's not right in front of our eyes. That's the power of technology like virtual reality. It's not even visible to us, but it is getting into our brain, and we don't even consciously know it. But whatever it is, we believe it, and it is there, and it is seared in for all time.
Well, we
and
played
so changing
the
people,
clip.
And we're
we played the clip the other day of Dimitri Christakis.
Memorize multiplication tables.
Yeah, we played the clip the other day of Dimitri Christakis talking about how this technology is rewiring children's brains permanently, and then we're creating. I mean, I talked about the golf simulation stuff earlier this week, and how there was a market created, a market demographic created for a generation that led up to that cottage industry, and there's a reason why young people want that versus the real golf experience. And there are two more clips that I want to play today that really speak to this in a much longer term, like back centuries. We played George Friedman a little bit ago, but you know, just to really underscore this and what has happened. You know, I mentioned the Copernican Revolution from time to time. What is that all about? What does that represent? We'll play a clip that corresponds to that, and you know, hopefully what you're talking about has an impact. Hopefully people get the message and it resonates.
I pray everybody reads a book. Get a book.
Yeah.
500 page book and read your Bible too.
Read that first.
Reading. If you stop reading, you're not going to have any hope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not even going to know, you don't have any hope.
Yeah.
You know, and it'll get you with another gospel and the whole nine yards. So
Amen.
Bless your heart, Chris. Thank you. I love you so much.
Thanks, Lynn.
Keep up
much
the
appreciated.
Good work. You are such a blessing. I thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Much appreciated, as always. Let's see. Let's do the first clip. We got two more clips. We should play the first one. This is, I mentioned this earlier, John Pounders with David Carrico talking about, you know, on Now You See TV, John Pounders, you know, the agenda. What is the agenda? Speaking of technology in particular, the citing the paragraph from Joseph P. Farrell's Babylon's Banksters. The Alchemy of Deep Physics, High Finance, and Ancient Religion. And so can we play that one real quick, please? The first one, Mystery of the Tribe of Dan, is much crazier than you think, is the title of the video for people listening. And we're jumping in at about the 1 hour mark, a little after that.
And absolutely, we see and all of this is tied in the Freemasonry. The seven sacred sciences are tied to the muses, and all of this ties into the recovery of antediluvian knowledge, whether through the Emerald Tablets of Thoth or Hermes or the Two Pillars of Adam that's recorded in Josephus. And this is the recovery of the antediluvian one world order that was launched again, like Mr. Hall said, from missionaries right from this place. And I think you're so spot on. They were re-energizing that antediluvian New World Order, and they are now at the very place where they're expecting to see the culmination of it.
Yeah, for sure. And so let me wrap this up with a little bow. It gets more interesting as time goes on, and we could go on about this forever, but I want to read an excerpt from a book that David actually bought for me. It's really good, by Joseph Farrell, called Babylon Banksters. And I think he nails the agenda in this. He doesn't talk about it throughout the whole book, but there's one paragraph in here where I'm like, this guy, he nailed it right here. He may not have known it, but he nailed it. Okay, so here it goes. He says, but there's another possibility one suggests by the scenario of a cosmic war outlined in the first chapter. This is, I believe, is truly the agenda. And it says, and that is, if the survivors of the once scientifically sophisticated civilization were ever to reach the pinnacle of scientific power and achievement that would have made an interplanetary war possible, if that is, they were ever to reconstruct the destructive technologies of their hegemony, and extend themselves again into space, then they would have quite literally to draw on the full resources of the entire world and to create the wars and conflicts that drove technology's achievements forward at a faster normal pace of development. In this case, they would develop not only secret associations for this purpose, but money and a close association with the temples would be the easiest and least technologically sophisticated method to do it. And the political goal would be the same, ever larger empires, eventually to encompass the entire world itself. Now, this is interesting, especially in light of what a ancestor of mine named Francis Bacon wrote in his book, The New Atlantis. And in The New Atlantis, just like the story that Plato gives of Atlantis, he leaves the last sentences unfinished for a reason. Now, The New Atlantis was said to be America by Francis Bacon. So what happened in Atlantis, according to Plato and according to others, they developed a center where it was like the golden age. People were free. People were free to discover. People were free to do everything. Very prosperous. All of these things happened. But then dark magic and dark works entered into the people, forcing the gods to destroy them. Now, this war that happened with the gods is mentioned in Genesis 6. This is the flood narrative where the giants were destroyed, where the sons of God, the Tuathanon, or whoever you want to call these people, were taken and trapped inside of the earth. Okay, there are other fallen angels on earth as well, but these particular ones were trapped in earth, which is why all the stories, they don't know where they're at right now. They're gone, right? Some people say they went north, and I'm sure that there are entities in the north, okay? But this is what happened. Now, this new Atlantis was to be like the old Atlantis, to gain the prowess of the old Atlantis, but without the evil. This was the idea behind it. We do not want the evil because we want to build this thing worldwide. So when the time comes, when the purpose comes for a cosmic war, we will have every resource available to us throughout the world. And part of the way that they did that was going to civilization, to civilization, to civilization, and building little Babylons all over the world so that their money system would work there, because if there's no civilization, there's no money system. And if you don't have people mining for gold, you're not getting gold. So they had people all over the world, especially in South America, in the lands of the serpent, land of the first serpent, just gathering gold, gathering resources and creating civilizations so that at one point, right now, they could harmonize all of these countries together, gather their resources. And what people don't understand about money is it is a form of alchemy, especially with the monetary printing system that we have now. You can create something out of nothing. There is literally nothing but confidence backing the monetary system that we have, that they were able to gather just large amounts of funds from all over the world, subject the entire world into what we're doing. And with that being said, I wanted David.
There you go. That's crazy stuff. I don't know. I think part of the problem we experience these days is the trauma-based mind control and the trauma. And I've thought about this a little bit recently. I wonder how many things we miss or overlook. Or, you know, speaking of Dr. Dimitri Christakis and his TED Talk and talking about how children's brains get rewired, and basically for them, a day on the farm, on the real farm, is boring compared to baby Einstein's day on the farm, you know, which is more exhausting than Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath, Christakis said. But, you know, how many things have we just been desensitized to, and do we not, how many things get overlooked? These kinds of things. This is a shocking realization. I think he absolutely nailed it. By the way, Joseph P. Farrell is over at Giza Death Star, which is interesting. There are a couple of articles I might mention if we have time. Get to that in a minute. We skipped the break. Let's just stay on track. Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Morning, Chris. I'm morning, wondering, Brian, if you caught Ingrid Castle's show on Saturday, Jenna interviewing Kevin McCarron.
I did not.
Nope, no problem. This Kevin McCarron, he's a Brit, but now living in Japan. He said he'd love to have some airtime on RBN in the future. Would your 2 hours be something I could invite him to?
Sure. To discuss what?
Well, you know, there is this huge effort to create a division. How many bullets went in JFK's head in Dallas? Is the Earth a globe? It goes on and on, but basically...
Last one is an interesting... Yeah, we'll play a clip here in a minute that... interesting.
Okay, so what I'm trying to say is virus, no virus. So I don't know if people are paying attention to how we create warfare and how to eliminate, depopulate. What McCarron is saying is that there are entities, the Department of Defense could be mentioned, that can create something that acts like a virus, and it is going to bring about these very similar effects. You can't breathe. Clint Richardson, longtime RBN host, can't walk to the mailbox. There is the possibility that there is something created for the purpose of warfare, because current warfare is very messy and it destroys a lot of crap. So I'm going to say that Chris Hinckley would be glad to take on this subject. Ingrid Castle, she's not so much. And you know, Jenna, when she fills in for Ingrid, you know, she embraces controversy. This is what John Stadtmiller embraced as well. I want a diversity. Well, you know, that's not so much happening here, and that's I don't know. I'll just say that I'm going to go ahead and pass his contact information on to you. I think this needs to be discussed because I don't want to wait until the shooting starts to realize there are people that intend to depopulate, and it's not necessarily going to be with artillery and nuclear weapons, if they even exist. So, I heard you say you had some other clips you wanted to play, and I don't want to clog up your broadcast. It is Call-In Friday.
Yes,
it is. Do you have any further comments?
In the interest of time, the clips, the other call, the only thing I would say is you're talking about Saturday the 13th, where Jenner interviewed Dr. Kevin McCarron, right?
That's correct. And
okay. All right. For posterity's sake, yeah.
So, yeah, Ingrid said she would have this Lynn Ertel. She's very fond of this fakeologist in Canada. It's all fake, Chris. None of it is real. Nuclear weapons don't exist.
So
the USS Liberty was never attacked. I mean, this kind of fakeology is what Lynn embraces. And yeah, Kevin McCarron is simply saying, no, let's just get down to what we do know is factual. And so, yeah, if you're going to listen to the broadcast from last Saturday, keep that in mind. Lynn Ertel hung up the phone with me after I mentioned Tim at Fakeologist has been outed for years now from Miles Mathis. Tim at Fakeologist is a CIA Canadian plant.
One of the problems that we run into with all of this is that, again, speaking of the desensitization and perception management, it blunts the magnitude of so many things. You know, you're shocked initially and you go, oh my gosh, we should be concerned about this. And then you hear this kind of stuff and just the folding and refolding of, you know, maybe it's a hoax, maybe this person's a denier, maybe it never happened and all that. And then pretty soon the person's like, well, I guess it's not that big of a deal. If it was, you know, if it was really a big deal, it'd be on CNN and Fox News. And so, since this is what's going on, I guess it's not that big of a deal. And I think that many things are dismissed that otherwise should be, you know, maybe a concern for folks. Anyway, hopefully that makes sense.
MCCAIRNDojo.com. This is McCarron's streams. He puts them out every day. He's interviewing Dr. Daniel Negassi yesterday, who's from Alberta, spitting distance from you in Montana, and initially British Columbia as well, now living in Japan. These guys are talking everything but communitarianism. And, you know, if Kevin McCarron wants to say it's a turnkey totalitarianism, that's where I really think your efforts, Chris, could be helpful. Turnkey totalitarianism.
Well,
could also
feel free to send him my information. We're headed out to the break.
Well,
stick around,
good
folks.
Good morning, everybody.
Thanks
and
so
welcome
much.
Once
around,
again
we'll be right
to the
back.
American Activist, a weekly radio show here on the American. Excuse me, on the Republic Broadcast Network. And I'm your host, Don Harkins. I'm ordinarily the editor of the Idaho Observer newspaper, and we are just now, we just printed the opening salvo for our 11th year, and we're at idaho-observer.com. Go ahead and check us out. It is always really interesting to see where we've been over the last 10 years.
Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour already of today's Road Warrior radio broadcast this Friday, January 26th, 2024. Back to the phones we go in the interest of time. Dan in Virginia, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Good morning.
I want to get back to the lady that was discussing with you people are deluded and we're all living in sin. And my answer to that is we are cursed with a curse. God Almighty has cursed us because we haven't done what he's asked us to do. And I'd like to get your opinion about that.
Yes, we are born in sin, but we are called and encouraged and exhorted to repent of our sinful ways and nature and cry out to him, receive the free gift of salvation that is in Christ Jesus. And like Jesus said to the woman, you know, is there anyone here who accuses you? She said, no. And he said, go and sin no more. So we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So our own personal salvation can be dealt with that attitude. But I mean, like the country, the whole mm-hmm. population.
Yeah,
they're not going to do that, and they're just going to continue on the way they're doing it right now, which is, I think, wrong.
Well, you know, I wonder. I've been talking about perception management predominantly this week, and I wonder how much of you know that. I mean, I don't disagree with you. However, you know, and I've been talking for years about a thing I call Jonah's gospel. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Jonah is a reticent messenger. He shows up anyway. The Bible says, Book of Jonah says that Nineveh was a 3-day journey and Jonah set out a day's journey. From what I can deduce, that seems to mean that at best, Jonah made it a third of the way through town, probably not even that much. Yet word gets back to the king, the whole town repents, and there's sort of a stay of execution, at least for a time. And So, you know, I've wondered for about 15 years now, is that something that could happen in America? Obviously, your point is well observed, and lends too, for that matter. You know, things have accelerated in ways that most of us, I think, would find shocking and horrifying. But I think, you know, again, as I've been saying, along with the perception management this week in particular, so much of these things are voluntary. How much, you know, I think of, is it Psalm 119, I want to say, where, maybe it's not, but where God says that he would have destroyed them were it not that Moses stood in the breach or stood in the gap. And so where are those people? You know, there's an anecdotal story that I saw just today, actually, of an author the story is you can find it on Facebook on the early Columbia Falls history whatever you call it on Facebook. The story is of Dorothy Johnson, and she was a very talented and gifted author who wrote stories for a long time before she ever got picked up as an author, basically. And so, you know, as the story goes, she was writing in a man's world, so they didn't want this kind of stories that she wrote, these Western stories, you know, a Louis L'Amour type story, written by a woman. And so she wrote as D.M. Johnson for a while, and eventually she got picked up, and her story, The Hanging Tree, became the 1959 movie starring Gary Cooper. And she also was the lady responsible, the author responsible for The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, which is one of my favorite movies, John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart. And there's some really interesting scenes in there. We played clips actually on the broadcast from that. But, you know, she was persistent over the course of many years, and the story talks about how in her papers from that period, well, actually from an excerpt from the article, it says in her papers from that period, though, was found this quote. She wrote, "It always breaks my heart when I get turned down." And this is over, you know, it says for an agonizing 11 years, she did not sell a single story. So she wrote, "It always breaks my heart when I get turned down. It doesn't get any easier to take. You should be able to get calluses on your soul." So she was heartbroken that she kept submitting these stories for more than a decade, always turned down, always heartbroken. It never got easier, and yet she kept after it and kept after it. And I just wonder, where is that kind of fortitude in today's America? And so maybe the last thing I would say about this is I'm reminded of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And basically, you know, the king says, that's it. And it's a very dramatic story, obviously. You know, seven times hotter, make the furnace seven times hotter. And it's so hot, it burns incinerates the guys stoking the fire. And the king says, what are you going to do? And they say, well, you know, our God is able to save us, but even if he doesn't, it doesn't change a thing. He's still God. So they get thrown in the furnace, and everybody's looking, you know, and the king sees four people. He's like, I thought we threw three guys in there. What's going on? And they come out, and they're not singed. The Bible is very clear that, you know, they're not singed. They didn't smell of smoke, nothing on them. Their garments was singed. And so, you know, their faith was remarkable. And I wonder, do we have that kind of faith? You know, Bible says when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the land? So,
well, thank you, Chris. I wanted to get your opinion on that, and it's been helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome, Dan. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Much appreciated, as always. You know, I wonder, a little more encouragement maybe. But, you know, I just wonder, in the face of adversity, and especially in the midst of the perception management campaigns that are everywhere around us, demoralization, you know, death by a thousand cuts. Because again, as Sun Tzu said, what is the acme of skill? To win 100 victories in 100 battles is not the acme of skill. To subdue the enemy without fighting is the acme of skill. There's that alleged quote, I don't remember it exactly, but, you know, attributed to Heinz Alfred Kissinger from the 1992 Bilderberg meeting. You've probably stumbled upon it at one point or another, where he allegedly said something to the effect of, you know, right now, Americans would reject troops in the streets, but, you know, a time is coming when they will welcome it, or they'll beg for it, basically. So the acme of skill is not 100 victories, 100 battles. The acme of skill is to subdue the enemy without fighting, or maybe have them jump into the lap of their kidnapper and say, save me, kidnapper, save me. So, you know, where is the fortitude in America? Where is the backbone? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the land? I want to play the one clip before we go back to the phones real quick, the one remaining clip, and then we'll go to the phone. So the last clip is from the Truth is Stranger Than Fiction YouTube channel, Copernicus/Copenhagen, the philosophical pillars of scientism. And this, I think, really sort of punctuates this whole generational, you know, centuries-long deception, centering in this case around the Copernican revolution, which is literal and metaphorical and cannot be overstated. Can we play that, please?
Sure of it, really. And so this whole enclosed cosmology with the whole universe inside of it is really, is you're trying to kind of placate the Copernican cosmologist and still look respectable in the eyes of science. That's what so much of this nonsense is all about. You still want to preserve a degree of respectability with the mainstream science, but also try and adhere to what the Bible says. And you're trying to play both sides, and you just can't do it. And I'll just close with this. The thing that really, one of the things that really solidified a lot of things for me was when I started looking into this term, Ouranos, which is for heaven, and how it is used in the New Testament. And even by when we look at Jesus and so many instances in the Gospels where when Jesus stops to pray and he actually looks towards heaven, this word, Ouranos, and prays to his Father. And every time, you know, every time where it says he looks up, it's looking up at the sky, you know, if you're trying to say that the Bible doesn't teach that we live in a flat stationary earth, then it honestly makes no sense why Jesus would have been actually pausing to look up at the sky as if he didn't know that space was in every direction and that the earth was constantly turning and that the whole solar system was constantly revolving and moving and spinning through space. And that, so the whole idea of up is meaningless. The whole idea of why would you look out into this particular point in space one day and that particular point in space another day to pray to your Father? Was that just for the sake of the ignorant goat herder Hebrews that he was talking to? Was he just sort of humoring them by looking up at the sky and praying to his Father? But no, you have this word Ouranos that means the physical sky that you can look up at, and it also is talking about the spiritual realm, the spiritual heaven, a higher spiritual dimension, simultaneously. So right there, your cosmology is challenged when you're trying to hold to a Copernican viewpoint just by Jesus praying, because that is the original biblical cosmology. And the more you look at it, the more you will see this to be true. And so the Copernican principle was absolutely... There was absolutely good reason for so many theologians and people within Christianity to push back against the Copernican principle, because they understood what was really at stake. They understood what was going on. But because we don't even know what that original, we don't appreciate what that original cosmology was, we don't appreciate what they were initially attacking and denying. But then, yeah, now we've come full circle to where now you can only exist in that. It's just like so many other things where you can only exist in the vacuum of nihilistic atheism for so long before the culture starts to swing back around to mysticism and paganism and Luciferianism. So just like that scientific atheism, it's sort of a temporary roundabout, I guess. That's kind of how I see the classical quote-unquote Newtonian physics, and yet so many generations of Christians have elevated it and celebrated it and just built so much of their apologetics on this phony paradigm that they refuse to acknowledge, like, where it's all designed to take everything.
There you go. That's it. I don't, you know, we could just mic drop it right there and walk away. I mean, if you really get a hold of what he just said in those 3.5 minutes, no, it can't be. It can't be. How can that be, Chris? I mean, that's just absolutely crazy talk. You know, I mean, if that were true, I mean, do you understand what that means? Yeah, I do, and I think it is true. And you know, this is what Hoover was writing about in 1956, kind of from a backward perspective. But you know, the individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. The American mind simply has not come to a realization of the evil which has been introduced into our midst. Make no mistake, he was part and parcel to it, but I digress. He wrote, "It rejects even the assumption that human creatures could espouse a philosophy which must ultimately destroy all that is good and decent." And, you know, it's exactly what we're talking about. And it's centuries old. I mean, it's you know, thousands of years old, but in this case, back to the Copernican Revolution. I mean, and even the bad guys acknowledge it. So, you know, what do you do about that? And, you know, reminds me of Spengler's decline of the West, and so on and so on. Anyway, I won't belabor it. You get the point. I guess we're headed into a break. We'll go back to the phones when we come back. This is, you know, that's it. Those three clips, I think, you know, if you can put that, that's, what is that? Less than 20 minutes, 10 minutes, George Friedman. 5 minutes of the John Pounders, the agenda, and then 3.5 minutes of the Copernican revolution and what it meant, what it represented to this day. People really could get a hold of that, and then, you know, we all grow a spine. Who knows? Who knows what could happen? Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going.
Welcome back. Final segment. You know, in Spengler's Decline of the West, he, from Wikipedia, Spengler introduced his book as a Copernican overturning, specific metaphor of societal collapse. And in his framework, the terms culture and civilization were given non-standard definitions. You know, he, according to Spengler, the meaningful units for history are not epochs, but whole cultures which evolve as organisms. So then, why the clash of civilizations, ask yourself, perhaps for a new, you know, organism? And he also wrote, a power can be overthrown only by another power, not by a principle, and only one power that can, there's only one power that can confront money is left. Money is overthrown and abolished by blood. And so I wonder, you know, it makes me think of Revelation 19:13. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. I wonder if his robe is dipped in blood as he sits on his white horse because of what's going on in Revelation 14, verse 20. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood came out from the winepress up to the horse's bridles for a distance of 200 miles. I wonder if those go together at all. Anyway, back to the phones. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, search engines. You talked about that. For those who haven't experienced search engine censorship suppression or whatever, then they might not get it. But what is it? Timothy 4:3 talks about those who will not endure sound doctrine, and they seek out to scratch their ears. I don't remember the exact verbiage.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that what social media and search engines are basically doing? It allows you to find stuff that's pleasing to your ears, scratch your itchy ears.
In some cases, yeah, for sure.
Well, and then
confirmation bias.
You talked about perception management, you know, so that's a massive way to do that. I mean, mm-hmm. Just steer stuff away. Like, there's a quote from Josephus I can't find. I found it years ago, and it was in a Complete Works, and I guess, I don't know, it seems like it might be being suppressed. People that are writing articles about it being suppressed. Or somebody Josephus was writing about said that they had met Christians who were trim, fit, sharp-witted or sharp-minded, and they shunned meat. That quote is nowhere to be found. And we deal with spurious quotations all the time, but, you know, even if the concept is valid, I think that you mentioned astronomy. The Jesuits were engaged in the Copernican shift or whatever. They picked up on that, and they're still running observatories, infrared observatories, or what is that one out in Arizona called Lucifer, extragalactic. So I'm not a flat earther. It's just interesting that the Jesuits really picked up on that and promoted it.
Yeah.
Even though Galileo was put in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Out of time.
Yeah. So, folks, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying. For more encouragement, read the story in Daniel 10 or about Elisha's servant. Have a great weekend. Pray for one another. Support the network. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.